Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is a fact that everyone's jumping all over Trump, saying that he's a racist for bringing up an obvious. And the obvious is the judge is biased. The judge is a biased guy. I mean, you know, he's a human being, number one. We're all biased. We know everyone's biased. I've never met a person who isn't biased, incidentally, of any race. I spent years in a tribal society, and I'll refer to it, in the Fiji Islands in the late 60s, early 70s, when it was still rather, when, you know, the Fiji Islands became an independent nation in 1970. But when I spent those nights in those villages, the nights I spent with the Melanesian people, the black people who were the indigenous people of the Fijis, I spent all night with them drinking kava kava. Inevitably, they would talk about, badly, about the Indians who lived in the island, the East Indians, who would come there as indentured sugar workers and then wound up saving their money and working very hard and taking over almost all the businesses of Fiji. And then when I'd spend the nights with my Indian friends drinking beer, inevitably they would talk bad talk about the Melanesian people, the Fijians. I, as a white kid sitting there, white young man, a grad student, really, how can I take a side in a thing like that? I had friends of both races, and I just saw what goes on in a microcosm of a society. People generally stick to their own kind, and they put down everyone else in plain English. That's all. So what is Trump saying that's so alarming about this? He can't get a fair trial. The judge bringing Trump University case is tied to La Raza. So La Raza means the race. It doesn't mean all races. It doesn't mean Kumbaya. He's not tied to La Kumbaya. He's tied to a brown supremacist movement. And the puppeteer in the White House hired the head of La Raza a couple of years ago and put her right into the White House. Did you know that she's in there? Her name is Cecilia Munoz. She ran La Raza for years. I'm the only one in the media who remembers these things. So don't blame me for telling you the facts. You can get mad at me if you want, but I'm right. You're wrong. That's all. And I want to now read for you some of the other stories that caught my attention that I printed up to talk about. I am asking you, if you are a Sanders voter, for example, in California, and they're giving the nomination to Hillary. Okay, I have the California rules. When the election comes around, the general election, are you willing to cross over and vote for Donald Trump because you can't vote for Sanders? Would you rather see Trump win than Hillary win come November? That's a very big, big, big question here. Because in California, which is a huge state, in the general election, under the rules that I investigated, you can vote for any candidate of any party, regardless of what party you're registered with. Did you know that? Now, this means that come November, the Bernie supporters who are disgruntled with Hillary can, in fact, vote for Trump. And I'd like to hear from Sanders voters, supporters, who would rather cross over to Trump and why. Because there's a little overlap between Trump and Sanders with regard to the export of jobs, regulations, etc., the killing of jobs. And I think that there are many Sanders supporters who might just vote for Trump rather than vote for her, because we know who she is. I don't have to use any expletives about her. If you say the word Hillary, it becomes a verb right now. If you pull a Hillary on somebody, it is no longer a noun, it's a verb. It's now replaced the name of a person to the action of a being. We all know that the nominees are going to be Trump and Hillary, that we know, unless something happens. Now, the communist from New York, the seltzer man, cometh, is still screaming and foaming at the lips that he's in there to the end and this and that. Whatever, we'll have to watch what he has to say. The big story out there is, of course, the Donald Trump issue that they're making such a big deal out of. I mean, the fact is that we've had a racist administration for 8 straight years. Yes, I'll stick by those words. If you don't like it, you know what? Defend your position. We have had a subtle racist administration for 8 straight years. It started from almost the get-go. The fact of the matter is there's been a war on white police in this country, stimulated by Barack Obama and Eric Holder and others in the administration, and hardly a word was said by the Solenterets in the media every step of the way. Now, all of a sudden, Donald Trump makes one word, says one word about a judge of Mexican heritage and how he might be biased, and the whole world falls in on him, as you would expect. So let's put this in context. And in order to put it in context, and in order for me to further my proof that we have a racially charged administration, let me put it that way, since I'm a politician. We have a racially charged administration that never lets a statement out of their lips that doesn't somehow steam up the races against each other. Here is the first lady herself, none other than Moochie Obama, Michelle Obama, who has abused the taxpayer unlike any of the last number of first ladies, and I stand by those words. If you don't like what I'm saying, let's look at the facts. The last we checked, she had 72 personal assistants at public expense. The last we checked, she has abused the taxpayer at every turn by taking a second Air Force One on a most recent junket to South America, strictly for tourist reasons. And there was not one word from ABC News on that one. Okay? They refuse to see what's in front of their eyes. Now, here she goes, a woman who has been privileged from birth, never suffered a day in her life, never really worked a day in her life for anything that was not really given to her. She came from middle-class black parents in Chicago and makes believe that she was born in poverty. It's sickening, by the way. And she does it for one reason only. And that is for the reasons that they're trying to blame Trump for. And remember this, her and her husband, Barack Obama, rose through the ranks of politics by using these tactics of race baiting and of class warfare. And that is why the country is in the state that it is in right now. So having said that, you say, okay, we know who they are. Let's say you're even on the middle here. You're not a conservative. You're not really a Republican. You're just in the middle. You say you make a good point. Yes, they've used race as a weapon. And so what's the bigger point? The bigger point is that race is the undertone of American politics and has been for a very long time. This is not something brand new. Let's not make believe that this has not been an issue in America, I don't know, from the get-go. It's always been an issue. So now they're saying that Donald Trump makes one utterance about a judge of Mexican heritage who's biased against him, as though no one's ever implied that there's racial bias in the political system. We all know there is. I grew up in New York, so I'll go back to that as an example. I know this for a fact. Every time there's a high-profile federal case, and there is an individual of an ethnic background, invariably I've seen them select, whoever runs the world, a person of that ethnic heritage as the presiding judge. So if the person is of Hispanic heritage, it's usually a Hispanic judge. I've seen it over and over again. If there was a Jewish criminal, they usually use a Jewish judge. I've seen it over and over again. This is the way American politics has played for a long time. And I'm as keen an observer of American politics as anyone in the world right now. The fact of the matter is, what Donald Trump is saying is a given. It's not even an oddity. I'm sorry to break the bad news to you, but the judge presiding over Donald Trump's case of Trump University, and I'm not even sitting here talking about that, because I don't know the ins and outs of that case. But what Trump was saying was he can't get a fair trial because of Judge Curiel, and he's asking for another judge. Now, why is he saying that? Is it only because Judge Curiel is of Mexican heritage? No. That's not at all why he's saying it. It's because Judge Curiel, if that's how you pronounce his name, it's a curious name, by the way, are really quite astonishingly racially charged. Judge Curiel is or has been a member of the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association. La Raza means the race. I was the first in the media to translate that for you long before anyone else did. La Raza refers only to one race, not to all races. La Raza. Judge Curiel is a member of Hispanic Bar Association. Judge Curiel is a member of Latino Judges Association. Judge Curiel is a member of the National Hispanic Prosecutors Association. My friends, all of these radical groups defend illegal aliens. And that is why Donald Trump questions this judge's neutrality. You see how it is. And this is not saying anything about Mexicans. If it was a Mexican judge, it was not a member of La Raza and a member of all of these radical left-wing groups, I don't think it would be an issue. Now, do I have to reverse it for you? If we had, let's say, a Barack Obama candidacy way back in the early days when America was still a rather free nation, and he was still running for office in 07, 08, whenever he was running, I think 07, then he took office in 08. And in 07, that the young senator from Illinois had a case before a white judge, and the white judge was a member of groups that were as closely associated with white supremacist movements as are these organizations associated with, let us say, Hispanic supremacist organizations. Do you think that this black candidate at that time would have a righteously indignant statement to make about the judge not being able to give him a fair judgment? So sometimes you have to reverse things in order to see them as they are. And that's why it's such an important issue. So the issue is the Trump University case, and I'm not here to even talk about it because I don't know the ins and outs of it. I'm here as a commentator to comment on those who are calling for Trump to disavow his statement that the judge is biased against him because he's of Mexican heritage. I agree with Trump 100%. Why? Because I have found in my lifetime everyone I ever met is biased based on their ethnicity. The only people I've met who were somewhat neutral, I'm going to tell you straight up from the get-go, straight out, because the Caucasians have had power for so long, I've seen the chance of unbiased with Caucasian judges. I've seen it in my lifetime. As far as ethnic judges go, I'm sorry to tell you, but they usually use their ethnicity as a lens. That's what I think. I'm giving you one man's opinion. You want to crucify me for my opinion now? Did it become illegal to have an opinion of reality? I have seen ethnicity used as a lens in almost every case. I see it in President Obama for sure. I played you an example of it in Michelle Obama, where everything comes out of her mouth, goes through the filter of race. So now all of a sudden, Trump says a rather mild thing. It's actually quite mild. And the fact is that the judge and the law firm bringing the Trump case are both tied to La Raza. La Raza is a racist organization. Does La Raza stand for black people? Have you ever heard La Raza stand up for a black person in this country? Have you ever heard La Raza go to bat for a person of Asian heritage? Have you ever heard La Raza go to bat for anyone but folks of a certain persuasion? No. They stand only for La Raza, the race. Now, they have a right to do so, by the way. They have a right to be biased towards their race, I suppose. But they don't have a right to bias law cases based on their race. It's illegal. And by definition, the judge should recuse himself. Period. End of story. The judge has to recuse himself. He has to step off this case. And so does the law firm. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You want to hear a little bit more about that rotten law firm? Oh, yeah. Maybe you didn't hear this yet. The best article on this was written by Jerome Corsi in WorldNet Daily. Judge law firm bringing Trump UK case both tied to La Raza. So let's look at this wonderful law firm that is bringing the case. They're just such a sterling group of people. You'll just love it. The San Diego firm, Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd. Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd. Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd. Paid $675,000 to the Clintons for speeches. That's to start with. You'll say, well, they're in a long line of people wanting favors from that group. But wait, it gets even better. The law firm's founder is a mega-wealthy San Diego lawyer who served a 2-year sentence in federal prison for his role in a kickback scheme to mobilize plaintiffs in class action lawsuits. How many years have I told you that if I had the power, I'd arrest every class action lawyer in America and seize their assets out of their grandmother's account? Those Gulf Streams would be fueled up so fast if I ever took over. Of course, I'm not running for office. I'm giving you a hypothetical, a cartoon version. The first people to remove from this country's dialogue are the class action lawyers. They are the, let's see, Family Show, can't say this, can't. The class action lawyers are the dirt upon which Solenteritz crawl. Now, class action lawyers in any other society would be considered criminals. They wouldn't even be considered lawyers. They'd have to live in hiding, like La Cosa Nostra. But because they wrote the laws, they're now allowed to walk around with shirts and ties and go to galas for art shows and raise money for the opera and live in condominiums on Park Avenue or wherever. But class action lawyers are the lowest level of society. They're not permitted in France and other European. Did you know that? I mean, let's look at Europe. Obama holds them up as a role model. There is no class action lawsuits or allowed in Europe, the last I checked. There are very few tort lawyers in Europe. They don't let these, again, I have to watch out the words. People take offense at what I say. So let's see, solenterate's as low as I could go. What's below a solenterate? Is there an invertebrate zoologist out there who can give me something lower than a solenterate? Because that's what a class action lawyer would be. And even that would be giving them too much credit. They're not bottom feeders. That's so high, that's so much higher than a class action lawyer. A bottom feeder is already, it's in the mud. And as it's much higher than the bottom feeder is much higher than what a class action lawyer is. These people provide no valuable service for society other than stealing and robbing from companies that provide actual products. So if a medical company, let's say a medical apparatus company, what they call them, makes something like a hip joint that works, and it saves millions of people have no agony for years. These solenterates, these low-life rats, I'll use bed bugs. I like bed bug best because everyone hates bed bugs. Some people probably have pet worms in our sick society. I don't think there's anyone sick enough to have a bed bug as a pet yet, but I haven't looked into it. There may be someone who does, but I would say the class action lawyer is a bed bug. Everyone hates bed bugs. It crosses all races, right? Do we all agree, ladies and gentlemen, that you all hate bed bugs? The class action lawyer is a bed bug. It provides no service whatsoever. All it does is infect everything it touches. So a medical device company makes an apparatus that they kill themselves to make it work. They do the best they can to make sure it's safe. They release it into the market after being tested by the FDA, and it works for most people. Then a few people get hurt by it, and these bed bugs try to bust the company and steal every asset that they have, and they give the plaintiffs next to nothing, and these bed bugs take all the money and run. Any society, they're arrested immediately, their assets seized. This bed bug firm has a founder who served a 2-year sentence in federal prison for his role in a kickback scheme to put together plaintiffs for class action lawsuits. That's who this bed bug is. The firm is Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd. So they're the ones behind it. They're representing the so-called plaintiffs in the Trump University case. If Trump becomes president, Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd should fuel up the Gulf Stream on November 8th.
Savage.
Here's a couple of stories that caught my attention. Obama advisor, the loser, Susan Rice, you know the idiot Susan Rice? Who refuses the word Islamic terrorism doesn't exist. That moron, put there strictly because, well, let's say you know why. The moron Susan Rice says America's national security agencies are too white. I'm not making this up. While delivering a commencement address at Florida International University, Miami, Obama administration moron, national security advisor Susan Dummy Rice, lamented what she sees as a lack of diversity in the realm of foreign policy and national security. More idiots like her in all branches of security are going to make us safer. Here is a moron who won't even declare Islamic terrorism. Okay, you get the picture. This is one of the dumbest people in the history of the world who is the national security advisor. Now, she's not the first moron put into that position. There have been others before her. If you look back, most of the idiots in that position are idiots. I don't know how they picked them. Here is a woman not looking in the mirror, talking about groupthink, saying we're folks who are alike often think alike. She's surrounded by, I would say, bigots like herself, and she engages along with the thin smoking snake in daily groupthink on a regular basis. They all think alike, so what is she talking about? Okay, how many returning white military veterans are in that little group of that sorority around the thin smoking snake in the White House? I would say none. Instead, he has guys like that creep, that press secretary, Ben Rhodes, who lied to everybody about the Iran deal. He ought to be in jail, for God's sakes. In fact, when Trump becomes president, I've said this before, I said it, we do need a UAC, and Ben Rhodes should be the first in the docket. Because the consequences of what Ben Rhodes did in lying about Iran, saying they were dealing with moderates when there were no moderates. He invented the whole thing, that snake, Ben Rhodes. Ben Rhodes should be called up on a war crimes trial for what he did to the American people in selling the Iran deal. And Kerry should be the next on line with him. But the fact of the matter is we don't know what's going to happen if and when Trump wins. Nobody knows what direction that administration might take. We can only hope there will be consequences for snakes like Ben Rhodes, who lied to us to sell the Iran deal, giving the world's number one terrorist nation the ability to develop atomic weapons. Do you realize what's at stake? We're no longer talking about corruption. We're not talking about U.S. senators selling inside information to husbands to profit from it. No, that's chicken feed compared to what Ben Rhodes did. We're not talking about people selling out land in Marin County so that their children who are in the legal profession can benefit from the inside deals while they're sitting in Congress. No, no, we're not talking about things like that. We're not talking about green mailers who have given billions of dollars to relatives in sweetheart contracts in San Francisco. That's chicken feed compared to what Ben Rhodes did. And don't think the people are stupid, my friends. There is a reason there's a revolution in the political world. There is a reason that Donald Trump has risen from nowhere to become the probably next president of the United States. And the reason is the American people, those who like Bernie and those who like Trump, they smell the corruption. The smell of the garbage dump of politics is so overwhelming that they're willing to take a chance on anyone who might just clean up the filth. It's that simple. You know it's true. You know it's true. The only question is, if Trump becomes president, will he follow through and will he be able to follow through? Or is the system so corrupt and so rotten that no change is possible? I don't know. We have no idea whether that will happen. Here's another one for you. The Department of Homeland Security, under the moron, Jay Johnson, freed nearly 20,000 convicted criminal immigrants in 2015. Now you ask yourself, why would a man, a Wall Street lawyer, like Jay Johnson, have been selected by Obama to be the head of DHS when the man is incompetent at any speed? The man is a danger to our national security, our homeland security. The same DHS that is mandated to protect us has now endangered us by freeing 20,000 convicted criminal immigrants in 2015. Are you listening to me? You want a little bit more? And we'll go to the next step. Trump camp says Muslim entry into U.S. depends on their intentions. That's why Trump is soaring and Hillary is deflating. I'll give you more, but let me start with a quote. The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Shall I repeat that? The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Now, any leader, any corporate leader, any military leader, anyone who has risen to a high position understands exactly what that statement means. And by the way, conservatives tend to be those people who can hold two opposing ideas in mind at the same time and still function. The left, however, does not hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time. They have a single idea, a single agenda, and they drive it home. Their only agenda is the destruction of the middle class. Because Obama is clearly operational as a Marxist. People have said, is he really a Marxist? He didn't take over this, he didn't take over that. One of the tenets of Marxism is the shrinking or destruction of the bourgeoisie. You know who the bourgeoisie are? You, the middle class. You, Eddie, the one that was put out of work by Bill and Hillary Clinton by sending factories to China. You, Eddie, who was set out of work by Barack Obama, who has sent more and more companies offshore and overseas. You are the middle class. And there's an article today about the great shrinking American middle class. In fact, it was by the Associated Press of all people. America's middle class is headed toward extinction. In nearly one quarter of metro areas, middle class adults no longer make up a majority. And this is from the left-wing Pew analysis. And so what is going on? I know what's going on. Why do you think there is a shrinking American middle class? Why did this happen under Barack the Liar Obama? The answer is quite clear, because that's his agenda. The rich have gotten richer, the poor have gotten poorer, and the middle has been driven out of the middle class in increasing numbers. This is what happens in a two-tiered Marxist society. There are the powerful, and then there are the weak, and there's virtually no middle class. I remember hearing this as a kid. We were not rich. We worked our way up from I'd say poor, lower middle class to another level. My mother used to say to me with joy in her eyes that in America, there's a great middle class. I said, well, what does that mean? I didn't even know what it meant. She said, well, there's rich in all societies and poor, and in this country, there's the largest number of people who are in the middle class. She said, in other countries, there's either the rich or the poor. I thought that was a good thing. Barack Obama studied his Marx very carefully. And the Marxists have long had a vendetta against the bourgeoisie. Who are the bourgeoisie? Well, the bourgeoisie are not Mark Zuckerberg. The bourgeoisie are not Bill Gates. The bourgeoisie are not Nancy Pelosi. The bourgeoisie are not Dianne Feinstein. The bourgeoisie are the middle class people like you who have seen your income shrinking and your costs going up. Here's another little story for all of you in blue out there. FBI Director Comey, who is one of the greatest performers on the political stage right now. I don't know how he survives with the monsters that are running this country. But he's in there because he has tenure. And I hope that when Trump becomes president, James Comey is, I don't know what he should become. I don't know where he can go that would do more, give us more safety than where he is right now. Maybe he'll be able to get his work done, though, as the FBI director. But the FBI director, James Comey, said the Ferguson effect is causing a murder spike. They're calling it very controversial. He reaffirmed his position that the viral video world that has been unleashed upon America has been drastically effective in intimidating police and encouraging criminals. He said that a viral video effect could well be at the heart of a rise in violent crime. The New York Times reports they're calling it the Ferguson effect, where police officers are hesitant to confront suspects for the rational fear of getting hit with excessive force or brutality charges thanks to videos. No matter what the cops do, they're wrong. But that's only part of the problem. The real problem is Barry Obama, and before him, that evildoer, the worst, most evil attorney general in history, a Dr. Svengali, Eric Holder, who was now hiding in a corporation somewhere, attacked the police relentlessly and empowered the criminal bums in Ferguson and Baltimore. That's why America's less safe. Now, there's another story that came out of New York that I found quite intriguing here that I'd like to talk about from the Savage Nation. The third most powerful Senate Majority Leader, the third most powerful politician in New York State, ex-State Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos. Remember how powerful he was in New York. This is a New York City corruption story with great national implications. You ready for this one? Ex-State Senator Majority Leader Dean Skelos was sentenced to 5 years in prison for using his political power to line the pockets of his do-nothing son, Adam. Now, it's a father-son duo. They were convicted in December of bribery, corruption, and conspiracy after prosecutors with Manhattan U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara's office played tapes showing that the Long Island Republican strong-armed companies into paying his 33-year-old son more than $330,000. Now, in New York State, they have a great U.S. attorney. The man has gotten one scalp of a corrupt person after another. Preet Bharara should run for national office. Frankly, I think if Donald Trump's people are listening, Preet Bharara should become U.S. Attorney General, by the way. But nevertheless, Preet Bharara has gone after one corrupt Democrat and Republican after another. He put away that prize, Sheldon Silver, a man who thought he was above the law, a man who uses religion as a weapon. He thought he was untouchable, but he was not untouchable. Preet Bharara got him and put him away. Well, now Preet Bharara got this father and son and put them away. And the question I ask is this. Why are there no such arrests in San Francisco? Everybody who lives here knows this is the most corrupt city in the United States of America. This city makes New Orleans look like a Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs city. And yet there have been no arrests by the local U.S. attorney. No one even knows who he is. No one knows how he exists. Nobody knows where he came from. Why is there no U.S. attorney in San Francisco to break up the same system here of pay for play? Bribery, corruption, and conspiracy? Are you telling me it doesn't exist in San Francisco? Everybody living here knows it exists. I'd like to read a couple of reviews of Teddy and me because they're interesting or I wouldn't read them. Guy writes, great little dog, great little book. Let me start by saying that I am not the biggest Savage fan, though I do listen to his show occasionally and always enjoy his wide variety of topics. One of the topics I've grown to particularly enjoy is that of Teddy. I almost feel as if I know the little guy and love it when he contributes his 2 cents worth to the show. Someone wrote that the most heartstring-pulling story in the book is, of course, that of his brother, but it is also uplifting and based on Savage's belief system. I believe that his brother Jerome is already in the company of the other dogs that brought joy into Savage's life, waiting to embrace each other when the time comes. Savage once again shows his excellent writing skills. Readers of his many books on health, politics, and fiction can add Teddy and me to Michael Savage's long list of excellent books. Anyway, people like the book. I hope they're getting some pleasure out of it. I don't expect it to make a, let's put it to you this way. I don't think you're going to see it on Fox News. I somehow don't think Bill O'Reilly will hold up a copy. Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I don't want to get into this sandblast thing, but I don't know where time goes. I remember when I was a kid, I'd hear the old people saying, "Don't worry, when you get old, you'll see how time goes fast." We didn't know what they were talking about. Time speeds up, they say, as you get older. Is that true? To the young, there is no future. I mean, it's just like everything is now. They live in the present. That's why young people are able to put up with such difficulties, because they figure tomorrow it will change. And hopefully for some it does. But in a society where upward mobility is increasingly uncommon because of the shrinking middle class, and that's a multiplicity of factors for that. Certainly it's escalated under Obama. It started, the shrinking of the middle class began, I would say, under Bill Clinton. It was Bill Clinton, after all, who passed NAFTA. Him and Hillary cooked it up and catered to the mobsters who wanted to squeeze more profit while enjoying the benefits of America and the protection of the military and the protection of the U.S. Constitution. The gangsters wanted more and more money, so they started to sell factories to the Chinese, who very cleverly moved the entire factory to China, copied every tool, and then destroyed the indigenous industry. It started before them with Japan, as you may well know. I remember when we used to have a television industry in this country. Again, when I was young, there were only American televisions. I remember to this day there were Dumont televisions made in Dumont, New Jersey. Can you believe that? Long gone. Philco, long gone. American brands destroyed. Now, you would say, well, okay, they were not as good. Were they not as good? Are you sure they were not as good? Or was it because of trade policies that indigenous American electronics companies were driven out of business? I happen to know for a fact that the Japanese destroyed the American electronics industry very cleverly by dumping. You know what dumping is? Selling their televisions below cost here in America to drive American manufacturers out of business. Now, what nation on earth would have let that happen other than a nation of corrupt lobbyists called congressmen and senators? They bought them off. They bought them off in one way or another to let them dump their televisions here. Now, the same was done to our big three auto industry. How do you think the Japanese auto manufacturers, they make good cars, by the way, but we make better cars right now. How do you think they were able to get a toehold in America and drive the American auto manufacturers virtually out of business till some of them came back? Again, through dumping. By no tariffs on those cars and by selling the cars at almost below cost, they were able to dominate the automobile industry and crack into the American market and to weaken our auto companies and drive them out of business. Now, this is a well-known fact, which is why we need tariffs on foreign cars. And what amazes me, this is the most amazing thing in the world. You've got people who label themselves as conservatives who are in favor of NAFTA, and they get away with calling themselves a conservative. They support NAFTA and say that they're a conservative. When Trump knows that it's NAFTA that created the great sucking sound south that Ross Perot warned us about. Remember in the 90s, Ross Perot ran again as a populist, and he got up there and he said, "I hear a great sucking sound south if NAFTA is passed." And don't forget who passed it. It was a Democrat called Bill Clinton, advised by his wife. Probably she was the architect, since he was busy on other events over in the Oral Office. She could have been the president for all we know. He was so busy chasing interns around the carpet there in the Oval Office. Maybe she was the one, the architect of NAFTA. And I expect to hear more about this when the campaign comes down to Trump versus Clinton. I suppose Trump's going to hammer her for NAFTA. She owns it.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. What is the truth? Everyone's searching for the truth. We all know politicians are liars. We know the government is full of crap. We know that everyone lies about everything in business. Wherever you turn, there's lies. So what is the truth? People say, what is the truth? Some say there is no truth. Just do what you want. Another question is, does God exist? That's for you to answer, not for me to ask. Now, I first faced these existential questions when I was 18. And I was reading existential philosophy, notably by Sartre, long forgotten, a French alcoholic philosopher. But I asked myself the same questions. Is there truth? Where is it to be found? Now, for me, the truth is in reality. The liar in Venezuela, the president, Nicolas Maduro, very much like Obama, claims Venezuela has the best health care in the world after Cuba. There's no electricity, no antibiotics, no beds, no soap. 7 babies die a day in the hospitals. Bleeding patients are seen lying strewn on the floor. And doctors are operating without tools. That's socialism at work. That's where America will be in not a long time from now, unless there is a sea change in the political process in the United States of America. Obama is leading us to this disaster as sure as I am sitting here. I have covered this over and over again. What is truth? What is reality? Is Bernie Sanders telling you the truth? Bernie knows what socialism brings, but Bernie won't tell you about hospitals without medicine or about doctors without scalpels or anesthetic. Instead, Bernie sells you a bill of goods the way Bernie Madoff sold his investors on a Ponzi scheme. Bernie Sanders is basically a Ponzi scheme artist. Hillary Clinton, Ponzi scheme artist. We know the Clinton Foundation is a slush fund. We know that she's got lots of bad baggage. We also know she will not be indicted because she owns the system. So that leaves us with Donald Trump. Now, many of us are not sure about Donald Trump, but we're betting on him. But it's not to be about Donald Trump. It's about to be these topics of the day. So I'll begin with some of the stories that show us what the truth is. For example, Obama, the communist liar, is spending millions of dollars to find summer jobs, not for poor black kids, not for poor white kids, not for poor Hispanic kids who are citizens. Your president, your socialist liar, is spending millions of dollars to find summer jobs for refugees. He wants to make sure that Utica, New York's young refugees are not without a job. So Mr. Obama, the socialist liar, is spending millions and millions of dollars to make sure it doesn't happen. President Obama said of his new summer opportunity project, access to a job in the summer and beyond can make all the difference to a young person, especially those who don't have access to many resources and opportunities. Well, that's true. Why don't you talk about the poor white kids that don't have a summer job, or the poor black kids whose families were born here hundreds of years ago, about those who don't have a job? But no, Obama wants to make sure as a community organizer that the future is seeded with future socialist voters, and so he will spend millions and millions of dollars launching dozens of initiatives across the land to make sure that not citizens, but refugees get jobs. Here's another story. 2 drown after being swept out by a current off a beach in Miami. So I looked into that, and they were 2 rabbis. But they were not liberal rabbis for whom the bell doesn't toll. They were actual real Jews. They were Orthodox Jews who practiced God's commandments all day long, 3 times a day praying, following every little commandment. And they went out into the water, probably wading. These are not swimming types, 67 and 66, from Williamsburg, New York. They're not the type that are ocean swimmers. These are guys who roll up their trousers above their knees and splash themselves with a little water under their arms. So a current comes in, grabs them by the feet, pulls them into the water, and they're dead. So the question to me is, where is God? Why did he take their lives? Why did he take their lives? Anyone have an answer to this question? There's no answer to the question. So does God exist? You tell me if God exists, because I'm not so sure. And the question is not whether I believe if God exists or if you believe God exists. The issue is, why does he let the good die and the evil thrive? That's all. It's a simple question that goes back to the beginning of time. If you study Mount Vesuvio and you see the remains of Pompeii, where the mountain explodes and you see the remains of Pompeii, you see people frozen in time as they're hit by the molten ash. Were they all evil? Is that why God killed them? because he wanted to kill them because they were all evil. Everyone in that whole city below that volcano deserved to die. Or that Christian school bus that goes off a cliff and 33 children are killed as it falls into a ravine. Why did that happen? Because he's a just God? Or because it's just chance and it just was an accident? I'll let you decide. It's not for me to answer. It's for me to ask and for you to answer. So that brings us back to the question of what is the truth and why am I asking the question? Because we have politicians, all of whom are lying to us from the top to the bottom. We have people in the media who never tell you a word of truth. They do it only for ratings, just as the politicians do it only for the money that they gain to stay in office. They could care less where the truth is. They tell you point blank they're lying to your face. And so we're left with our own lives to lead. Now, how do we lead them? Well, each of us has his own way to get through life. Now, for me, it came down to this a number of decades ago, which was survival. I decided that reality was truth itself. Truth and reality were the same, and to me, reality became survival. I didn't want to listen to anyone telling me. I stopped reading books on how to live. I stopped reading philosophers on what to think. I stopped listening to double talkers in the religious world who thought they know the answers when they didn't. I had to decide for myself what the truth was. And for me, the truth was survival, survival, survival. I found out that if I followed the rules of society, I would be crushed and thrown into the garbage can. That I, by following the rules, was thrown on the side of the road because of my race. Because I was not the chosen race or the chosen sexuality. I was a straight, heterosexual, white male, and I was the enemy of our society. And guess what? I played by the rules, and they threw me on the roadside. So I decided, you know what? I'll do what I have to do to survive. And now we come down to America today. Tell me what your reality is. Tell me what you decided truth is. Tell me what you think the truth is in this political jungle in which we are living. Where is the truth for you? Well, there are other stories I'm going to talk about, and I picked them up. We touched on summer jobs for illegal aliens. African Americans need not apply. Obama apparently is catering to illegals more so than African Americans. I don't know why that doesn't excite the liars in the African American civil rights community. The answer is because they're not in the civil rights community. They're in the civil rights business. It is a business like all other businesses. But because it is a holier-than-thou business, people are afraid to say a word about it. And so there are some other stories that caught my attention that may or may not be related in the Savage Nation. For example, psychedelics are being used by doctors to help people with depression. Read today that scientists are finding that psychedelic mushrooms may be good for more than a wild weekend. Magic mushrooms appear to have helped a small group of volunteers suffering from severe depression, according to a new study in Lancet Psychology. So I ask you this, because the streets of the Bay Area are strewn with the victims of psychedelics who walk the streets as though they are in an outpatient ward. Some people took these drugs in the 1960s or 70s, and they've never recovered. Whether they be mushrooms or LSD, they're still walking corpses. So I'm going to ask you now in the Savage Nation, not to go back to Richard Nixon's time, but tell me right now in the Savage Nation for my millions of listeners who are hanging on my every word, was your mind blown by LSD or mushrooms? Do you have any psychedelic horror stories? Have you ever recovered? Is there something that you can tell the younger listeners to this show about psychedelics that may save a life from the road that you traveled because you were lied to by liars like Timothy Leary and the other peddlers of drugs who call themselves doctors of the mind? Now, this all connects up with what is reality. And the reason it connects up with what is reality is quite simple. It's because many people were searching for, quote, the truth. And so in the 60s, they thought that the truth could only be seen by following the psychedelic pathways. Because after all, some Native American tribes used magic mushrooms or mescaline in these mushrooms, namely peyote, in order to see the truth. And then we heard about tribes in South America who inhaled ayahuasca in order to see beyond this reality into the, quote, world of truth. And where did that lead us? Well, it led us to today, where we have men who say they're women walking into bathrooms and getting away with it, even though they're deviants. Oh, yeah. Not all of them are sexually confused. Not all of them identify as women. A good portion of them are simply perverts, using Obama's edict to get away with perversion. Oh, yeah. So what is reality? Is Obama really a legitimate leader of the United States of America? I'll let you decide what the reality is on that one. Is socialism really better for the masses of humanity? Before you open your pie hole and tell me what you heard at Harvard University, take a look at the pictures of the blood-strewn patients on the floors of the hospitals where socialism is actually practiced. Boys and girls from Harvard, I'll be right back.
Savage
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. What is God? Does God exist? What is the truth? Again, these are existential questions which I faced when I was 18. I'm facing them again because America is in total and absolute turmoil right now. People don't know which way to turn. They've lost their faith in God. They certainly lost their faith in the liars in the media. They know that they're all salesmen of one kind or another. They have no faith in any of the empty skirts or any of the suits. No faith in Congress. We don't know who to despise more, the media or Congress, but we despise them all. So we turn to other places for our truth. I remember when I was 18 years old and I had gone to Europe, the big trip to Europe. Whatever the reason was, I just took the big trip on the MV Waterman, spent some time over there, and then I came back to New York. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, to be honest. I wasn't one of these kids who was, let's say, career-oriented. A lot of kids around me in Queens at the time came from families that drove them into careers very young, and they knew what they were going to do. They were going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or this or that. If they couldn't be a doctor or a lawyer, they became a chiropractor. If they couldn't become a chiropractor, they became a podiatrist. If they couldn't become a podiatrist, they became whatever. You go down the line, an accountant or this or that. I'm not knocking any professions, but they were driven in careers, and many of them went right into careers early on in life. I was not that type. I was always a dreamer. My head was always somewhere else. I always was reading philosophy, was interested in ideas, and of course, as a dreamer, I was sort of, in my own way, on the sidelines of life because I didn't know where I wanted to go. I don't think I was very different then than many young people are today who are searching, so to speak, to so-called find themselves. I don't even know what find yourself means, but basically to find a way to make a living, in plain English. If you find a way to make a living, you'll find out who you are. It's really very clear. Find a way to make a buck and you'll find out who you are pretty quick. If you can't make a dollar, you'll never know who you are. You're going to be drifting your whole life looking for yourself. So yes, yourself is connected to making a dollar. So to make a long story short, I come back from Europe in this great search, the existential reality that I was living in, not knowing where reality was. So I remember I was driving on a roadside up in the Catskill Mountains at the end of the summer when I had come back, and I accidentally ran over and killed a rabbit. My mind, of course, was somewhere else. I was foggy in my head. I was thinking, and I was drifting. So I remember killing a rabbit. I got out and looked at the dead squash thing on the side of the road. Not a big deal. I mean, people eat rabbits. But the point was, it was dead. So I looked at it, and I said, today, I never forget what I wrote. In fact, I could find the line in my journal somewhere, but I remember it very clearly. Today, I ran down and killed a rabbit. This is reality. It's in one of my journals, probably 1964, a little green book, I remember. Today, I ran down and killed a rabbit. This is reality. So many people have turned to God. And many people have turned away from God in our lifetime. I think more people have turned away from God than have turned to God, certainly in my lifetime. The churches have emptied out, which is why the Catholic Church in particular is importing people from other countries to fill the pews. It's very bad business, like a movie theater with no one going to the theater anymore. So they need the customers for the movie. So they got to get them from another country, which is now you step in with the immigration job. So let's look at the Bible for 1 second. I'll take your calls. Because if you read Isaiah, my favorite talk show host of his time, Isaiah told us, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall oppress one another, every man his fellow, and every man his neighbor. The child shall behave insolently against the aged, and the base against the honorable. Tell that to Target. For a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father. You get the picture of what was going on? And then he wrote, as for my people, a babe is their master and women rule over them. Also, there are certain truths that are found in the Bible that even if they're just literary truths, seem to apply today. But does it mean anything in terms of you praying to some invisible entity that no one has seen in thousands of years? I mean, something happened thousands of years ago. People saw God. It was something about a burning bush. He told Moses and the Ten Commandments and the this and the that and the boom, the boom. And people have been killing each other over what the vision was for thousands of years. You have people within the same religion crucifying each other over their vision of what God said. You have people in the so-called monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, who think that they all worship the same God, and yet they don't seem to get along very well while worshiping this very same God. And they all ask the same question while they're butchering each other and robbing from each other. And the question is, Where is he? If he exists, why does he let the little children suffer? And why does he let the... I want to stick to the more interesting questions for today's program, which are the ones I raised earlier today. And they're all related to the white rabbit. Where is the truth? Listen very carefully to what you've heard and what you hear. Because the political world that we live in will soon come roaring back like the crazed animal that it is. And that will happen sooner rather than later. Because I'm convinced as I sit here that the jester in the White House has some major tricks in store for us. I want to stick to the more interesting questions, and they're all related to the white rabbit. Where is the truth? So let's pull a rabbit out of the hat by taking some calls. Let's begin by going to Eugene, Oregon. K. Eugene in Oregon. Sid, line three. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Sid?
Dr. Savage, I'm one of those people who threw away a beautiful, brilliant future by getting involved with LSD in 1970 or so.
Well, tell me what happened.
I was a valedictorian of my junior high school. I had near-perfect scores on my SATs. I was doing brilliantly in college, and then I fell in with a group that was taking LSD. I took it every weekend for a year, and at the end of that year, I could not tell whether my memory of the day before was a dream I had had or had actually occurred. And I walked away from college. I was supposed to be an ancient history professor or an art history professor, and never looked back, and I spent the rest of my life working menial jobs.
That's a very sad story, Sid, and it's not easy for you to tell it, I'm sure. This is a product of the liars like Timothy Leary, who was one of the greatest devils in the history of America, because he pushed psychedelics like a drug dealer. And then you had the others around him who were psychedelic pushers. And now you have the psychedelic drug pushers back in business. And they're putting out so-called studies of 12 patients. 12 patients is not a study. It's a theory. And it's a bad theory. And the article says, scientists are finding that psychedelic mushrooms may be good for more than a wild weekend. Magic mushrooms appear to have helped a small group of volunteers suffering from severe depression, according to a new study in Lancet Psychology. 12 patients is not a study. But again, they're trying to push magic mushrooms, LSD, and even the new breed, the new strains of marijuana, into the mainstream, which they've done very well at doing. These are not cures for depression. They are the causes of depression, Sid. All right, so you got sidetracked. You went into this world, and that was the end of your life. And I appreciate you listening to the program and having the guts to call the show with, basically, I would say, your psychedelic horror story. If I can save one child listening to the show from taking that drug, if there's one 15-year-old or 14-year-old or 18-year-old who is being prodded by some friend or friends to use marijuana, say, oh, don't be stupid, that stuff is good for you, or to try magic mushrooms one weekend, listen very carefully to what you're going to hear on this show, because it is a show that could save a life, and I will never know who you are. Never. Mary on KSFO, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, I was looking for truth, so I started smoking pot in high school. I graduated to mushrooms and then LSD acid. It soured for me. I quit college. I went west. I actually ended up in Berkeley. I was following the Grateful Dead. I slept with all kinds of people. And I was at a concert one night, and I saw Jerry Garcia look at me, and he goes, I was high on LSD, and he said, all rise for the dead. And I imagined that the roof was blowing off the theater. And so I got blown away, and my friends that I were with, I couldn't even talk to them. I was so blown. So I told them I wouldn't go home with them, and I ended up taking a ride with three security guards, and they ended up raping me. And they were taking me across the bridge to Richmond, and I was picturing the bay, and I was like, God, I hope my parents don't find me at the end in the bottom of the bay. So as we were going to Richmond, I was like, I looked at the moon and it was falling out of the sky, and I was like, Jesus, please save me. And we got to a stop sign, and I opened the back door of the car, and I just started running, and I was able to get away. So I survived it, and I lived to tell. So that's my
Where did that leave you? You were... So Jerry Garcia is well known to be one of the greatest devils of our time, lauded and worshipped by the fools around the world who think that his music, which was great music, by the way, was all heroin music, It was drug music. He was another Pied Piper who led so many people into this horrendous hell of drugs. And yet he's held up as a role model by the fools here in the Bay Area. But you have a different story to tell. Did you stop using psychedelics after that horrendous experience?
Yes, not right away, but I did.
So what were you? You were like a hippie girl? Like a hippie girl? That kind? I mean, you patchouli oil, the whole deal?
Yep, hitchhiking, you know, trying to live off the land, so to speak, meeting people.
Did you do the commune experience at any time?
Yeah, I was in it wasn't a fraternity house, but it was communal in Berkeley.
Yeah, that must have been very nice, sharing a bathroom with those people.
Yeah.
Because they thought the dirt was godly. They thought filth was godly in those days.
We were barefooted and, you know, picking up germs, I'm sure.
God. Okay, so let's speed the clock forward. It's now 2016. You're listening to a radio show. You're calling in. What are you doing today?
I'm working. I'm professional. I go to church. I, you know, try to eat right.
Whoa. Let's go back to I go to church. The day you prayed for Jesus to save you, are you saying that you think God or Jesus stepped in and saved you?
Oh, absolutely. I know it's true. There was no way. He took his hand off my neck when I said that.
Wait. Who had his hand on your neck? One of the security guards?
Yeah. There were two in the back, and one was driving, and they were taking turns raping me. I was going to get strangled. I knew it. So I had to call out to Jesus.
Because you said what? Jesus saved me? Or what did you say in that van?
Jesus saved me.
Why would the animal remove his hand from your neck because you said Jesus?
No, he couldn't do anything. He had to remove his hand. It was the power of God.
You actually believe that to this day?
I do believe.
Well, I'm not going to argue with what you see as reality. How did I begin this show? I began the show by asking, what is the truth? Does God exist? What is reality? I, Michael Savage, said that I found out along the way that reality is survival. You're basically confirming it in another way, aren't you?
I am.
So for you, your survival was reaching out to God through Jesus.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, I tell you, I don't know who you are, but that's a very brave call, and it's, I think, very unique to talk radio, especially in these days of the most boring shows in the history of the world. If we keep talking about politics, there's going to be nothing left, because one day the election will be held and it'll be over. And then what are we going to talk about? Well, today I'm talking about what I did talk about before we got into this hyper-political state, and what I'm going to be talking about with God's will after we get through with this hyper-political state, which is the reality of the world that we live in, and what's really interesting about it, which is, does God exist? What is the truth? Etc. So here we are. What is the truth? Does God exist? Now I see an article that a cardinal, a top cardinal, he happens to be African, not African-American, African-African. It's a different kind of culture. And Cardinal Rabat Sarah, a native of the West African nation of Guinea, gives a speech and says God is being eroded and eclipsed, liquidated in the United States. He warns against a demonic threat to American society and encourages prayer. So, okay, no one can argue with that. Sounds cool. Then you read it a little carefully. God is being eroded, eclipsed, liquidated. What does he mean by that? Well, he points out exactly what he means. Cardinal Sarah points out specific events, quote, in the name of tolerance, that have contributed to this erosion, including, quote, and I'm quoting him now, take it up with him, the legalization of same-sex marriage, the obligation to accept contraception within healthcare programs, and even bathroom bills that allow men to use the women's restrooms and locker rooms, unquote. Cardinal says, should not a biological man use the men's restroom, he said, in his prepared remarks. How simpler can that concept be, he asks. The African cardinal goes on. He warned that subversions of the church's teaching, including a, quote, demonic gender ideology, could lead to the family unit becoming a place where human beings can be humanly and spiritually wounded. So, my friends, it takes an African cardinal to stand up to what is going on in America. How come he doesn't give this speech to Barack Obama, who passed the bathroom bill? How come he doesn't give it to Barack Obama, who pushed same-sex marriage down our throats? How come he doesn't give it to Barack Obama, who forced religious people to accept contraception? You see what I'm saying here? He's giving us a message that we all know is true, but he's not giving it to the right people or to the right persons. Okay, so what is reality? Now, you got liars on the left saying that we need to take in more immigrants, that we're a mean nation of white people. But the reality is something else. We have the most immigrants in the entire world. Tell that to the lying Pope. Tell that to the lying liar in the White House. One in five global migrants live in the United States of America. One in five global migrants live in the United States, the most in the world. Did you hear that one? And yet we're told, oh, we're too white, we're too mean. Now, what are they all flocking here for? Because we're so white and so mean? It's because we're a nation of morons. A nation of beaten-up moron sheeple. Sheeple beaten up by re-educators for the last 30 years into thinking that we have to give up our sovereignty, give up our nationality, give up our pride, give up our manhood so we can let the third world trample on us. How's that one for reality? I just gave it to you. Nearly one in five global migrants live in the U.S. If the country stinks so badly, then what are the Mexicans flocking here for? Because we're so evil? The gringo is so bad? What are they coming here for? What are they coming here for? Because we're so evil? Ask yourself that, all you drug addicts out there. 46.6 million people as of 2015 living in the United States were not even born here. One in five international migrants, that's 20%, live in the United States. The U.S. immigrant population is nearly four times that of the world's next largest immigrant destination, Germany. And the U.S.-Mexico border, gringos, is also the world's largest migration corridor. Did you know that? 12 million Mexico-born immigrants, most of them illegal, live in the United States. 12 million Mexicans born in Mexico live here. So what do they hate about gringo land so much? What are they coming here for if it's such a racist land? Because you've been lied to. You've been beaten up. You've been lied to by the radical left who need cheap labor and they need voters to buy their lies. So I'm asking you, what is reality? Listen, I'm in the politics business and I'm not doing politics. I'm doing what is reality and where is God? I'm asking about psychedelic horror stories because many of you don't live in reality. You don't know reality. I do. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. I once visited a very important religious figure with some of the same questions you raise, and he listened to the whole story. And the more he listened to me, the more he knew he had to say the following. And what he said to me was, Michael, if you take a stick and you put it into dog crap in the street, no matter which way you turn that dog waste, it's still dog waste. And in that sense, he was the most brilliant man I've ever met. Can you imagine if I really wanted to cash in and just be a guru, what I could do with a story like that? You know how many people would come to, let's say, Guru Land to see Michael Savage, the big build-up? They're in the auditorium, everybody waiting for me to come out. There's whatever the Rolls Royces, if you want to do that. I'm not into that, but seven Rolls Royces are outside the revival tent, surrounded by the beautiful, winnowy women that these gurus surround themselves with in the robes. And all of a sudden, I come in the flowing robe, and I come in with my dog, Teddy. And I have a large stick in my hand. And then Teddy does something on the floor of the stage. And without a word, I take the stick and I put it into the dog droppings. And I say to the audience, many of you are troubled in your own mind. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you are. You don't know what reality is. But listen, my friends, look what happens when I put the stick in the dog droppings. No matter which way I turn the stick, it's still dog droppings. Thank you for being here. Oh, they go crazy. Each day, by the way, when my shows are over and the microphone is turned off, just a little side note, I think about how was the show? How did I do? And so was it a B? Was it a B plus? Was it an A? Was it a D? Was it an F? Today it's one of the best ones in all the years. Why it's occurring, I don't even know. Where it's coming from, I don't even know. I think it's all God-given, to be honest with you, and it's what I'm tuned into. You want to get into that? Sometimes I get tuned out of the power. Let me put it to you that way. I'll call it the power. Because when you say God, people turn off. They don't believe you. What does God mean? God is a euphemism, probably, for power or energy. What do we go to church for? What do people go into a church or synagogue for? What are all those people on their knees trying to achieve? What are they hoping for? They want to feel the energy. They want to feel the power from wherever it is to come down into them and give them the strength to go on another second. They just had a diagnosis that their child is sick with cancer, or they themselves are dying, or their mother is dying, or their father is dying. Whatever it is, they've just lost their business. So they turn to religion. They don't know what else to do. So they go and they get on their knees, they throw themselves before God, and they say, help me, God, help me, God, help me, please help me, God, please. What do they want God to do? God's not going to put money on their doorstep. God's not going to bring back the dead. God's not going to heal that sick child just because they asked them to. So what are they looking for? They're looking for the strength to take another step in life. That is, they're trying to tap into what every religion and every culture I've ever studied says they can tap into. Whether it be sitting in a Fijian village and drinking Yangona late into the night, which I did all through the late 60s and early 70s. What were they doing in drinking Kava Kava, Piper Mephisticum? What were the Brazilians doing in smoking ayahuasca? What were the Native Americans doing when they were taking mescaline through peyote? What are the Christians doing? What are all the religious people doing? What are the Buddhists doing as they chant and play the drums and fast? Are they not trying to tap into a higher energy? I think that's what they're doing. Now, what's the higher energy for? To give them strength. And that's the sum total of it all, because it comes back to what I told you at the beginning of the show, which is my analysis of what is the truth is really simple. It's not very complicated. Truth is survival. End of story. That's it. That's the whole story. Now, that's true for a man, it's true for a nation. And when you have a diabolical individual like Barack Hussein Obama, who is literally dismembering the nation in every way he can, as fast as he can, and anyone who is rational sees this man doing it, and he is savoring the destruction of this great nation, and nobody stops the maniac. It's like an airplane that's heading to the earth with a crazy pilot at the controls looking back and mocking the passengers as he takes them to their doom. And nobody has the guts to stand up and take the controls away from him and say, this man is out of his gourd. He's crazy. No one says it. Instead, we go on like, oh, everything will be fine. Oh, we're going to have an election and then it'll be over. No, it won't be over. If he gets away with what he wants to do between now and December, which is flooding us with millions of Syrians and Africans and God knows what else from the earth, how in the world can this society survive? And why is he doing it? Well, there are many reasons he's doing it. We've talked about it over and over again. What is reality? What is this sick man's reality? Because he is a sick puppy. This man has such a hatred for this nation that only a certain number of people in this country can see right through him. Maybe 30 million of us see what he's doing. And they see him doing it and getting away with it. Why? Goes back to the Beatles. I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Oh, yeah, he does. He owns Jake Tapper. He owns Wolf Blitzer. He owns Prancer. He owns Dancer. He owns ABC and CBS. He owns NBC. He owns Fox. He owns NPR. And so he gets high with a little help from his friends. And he gets by with a little help from his friends. But 30 million of us look right through this maniac.
Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have a traitor in the White House. If Benedict Arnold were alive, he would be Barack Obama. We have a Benedict Arnold in the White House. It's clear to anyone with an IQ over 85 that he hates this country, hates the population except for certain demographics, and works for the dictatorships of the world, celebrating the enemy and spitting on the graves of our war dead. Are these words too harsh for you boys and girls? Pause on your freedom. If you don't mind, it's really not about you. It's about a memory. And it's a memory for who? You see those weird crosses in those veteran cemeteries? You know, those stupid men who gave their life for the country, the guys you laugh at because you're from another world. You wouldn't give your life for the country. On Memorial Day, you're Benedict Arnold, the man you put in power, a man who should be in prison as far as I'm concerned. You're Benedict Arnold, not mine. I didn't vote for this creep. This creep goes to Hiroshima instead of going to Arlington National Cemetery. And he goes out of his way to spit on the graves of the American war dead. He puts a wreath in Hiroshima on the graves of the Japanese war dead without respecting the American servicemen who died. Can you believe that this man has the audacity to do a thing like this? Of course you do. The reason he gets away with it is because of the dumb idiots in the United States of America who don't even know that he's spitting on the graves of the war dead. But let me remind you of what Ronald Reagan said. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. That's what Ronald Reagan said. That's when we had a president who could inspire people and remind them that there's a difference between freedom and slavery. This man is the antithesis of everything America stands for, this one in the White House. You put him there, I didn't. He's not my president. Don't ever refer to him as my president, because he isn't. He is the president of Iran. He's the president of China. He's the president of every despotic regime on the planet. And this apology tour is the lowest point yet in his arc of disrespect. That's right, the lowest point in his arc of disrespect. Obama at Hiroshima. He gave a speech that death fell from the sky, and he hugged the Hiroshima survivor. This evil Benedict Arnold in the White House could have gone to Pearl Harbor and hugged a Pearl Harbor survivor, meaning an American serviceman instead of a Japanese serviceman. His shameful apology tour in Japan is the new low. The man is a psychotic anti-American hater, bowing down to Saudi Arabia's king. No head of state ever bowed down to a king, ever. He is a slave to dictators and a dictator to the American people. He goes to Japan, and he went so far now in discharging his duties in a negative way that I'm asking why the traitor didn't hug a real Pearl Harbor survivor. Why didn't he go to our cemetery here? Our war cemetery here. Why didn't he go here? Why is he going there? Why didn't he go to Arlington National Cemetery? And where's the missus, the other great patriot of America? What do you think, she's scot-free? Another one? I never really loved America until I became first lady. Who do you think she is? What do you think should be done? Should Congress censure this Benedict Arnold for dishonoring our war dead? That wouldn't be enough for me. For embracing the enemies? That wouldn't be enough for me. How do you feel about Obama honoring all war dead in Hiroshima? How do you feel about him embracing a Hiroshima survivor and not embracing a Pearl Harbor survivor? What punishment should Benedict Obama face for disgracing our war dead? What punishment should Benedict Obama face for disgracing our war dead? Many of you don't know who Benedict Arnold was. He was an American soldier in the Revolutionary War who was really a spy for the enemy, the British. It's clear to me, as I've said for years on The Savage Nation, which is why the show is so popular, it's very hard to tell the truth, and it's very hard, by the way, to accept the truth. But for years I've been saying he's playing for the other side. It's never been more clear to me than he is playing for the other side. Why didn't the traitor hug a Pearl Harbor survivor instead? Why did he go to Hiroshima and tell the world how bad we were for having dropped the bomb? What about the death that fell from the sky on December 7th, 1941 at Pearl Harbor, Barry? I mean, you grew up in Hawaii, allegedly, didn't you? Did you ever go to Pearl Harbor, Barry? How about telling that death fell from the sky when the Japanese started World War II, against America, rather, on December 7th, 1941, when they started the war, in their death fell from the sky speech? How come we don't give a speech there? You know, we've gone from Tokyo Rose to Tokyo Barry in one generation. There was once a propagandist named Tokyo Rose. We have tapes of her. Hello, Yankee. That one. Trying to demoralize the American troops, telling them that they were no good and how good the Japanese were. We now have Tokyo Barry basically shaming us for winning World War II. This is the most outrageous thing this narcissistic psychotic has ever done. This is the most embarrassing thing that this narcissistic animal has ever done. I've never heard anything like this. If it wasn't for Harry Truman, we wouldn't have ended the war so quickly. The Japanese would have fought to the last woman, the last child on the home islands. Ask them who know the history. As I've told you, they were told to make weapons out of bamboo sticks, even the old women, and to kill Americans when they came on the islands. Truman understood that if he didn't use the bomb, perhaps a million American service members died. 1 million. And by the way, Japanese resistance was actually growing as the U.S. forces were preparing for invasion. And the fanatical Japanese resistance was being marshaled, by the way. And the number of projected U.S. casualties kept rising by military planners at the time. So the fact of the matter is, although it was horrible, war is hell. Truman did what he had to do to end the war in the Pacific. He wanted to end the war and save American lives. Because he put, and notice the emphasis, save American lives. He wasn't the citizen of the world. Truman was not a citizen of the world. He was the president of the United States of America. Obama, if he's a citizen of the world, ought to go move to Brussels where he belongs. Let him go eat mussels in Brussels. This day of infamy will never be forgotten by me. He's making a moral equivalence between us and them in World War II. Instead of laying a wreath in Pearl Harbor, where there are still corpses or skeletons in the hulls of the ships at the bottom of the bay sunk by the Japanese during their sneak attack, instead of going to Arlington National Cemetery, this walking traitor, this amoral traitor, this amoral American so-called president, violating our values, violating the Constitution, treating America's enemies as morally equivalent to us, is a new low even for this character. Now, of course, his apologists, such as Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer, will blink tonight and say he didn't actually apologize in Hiroshima. Did he, Wolf? Wolf, did he apologize? No, Jake, he didn't really apologize. He laid a wreath. He laid a wreath there in at the peace memorial there in Hiroshima. But he is an apologist. Bent his knee to the Arab kings. I love he gave a speech calling for a world without nuclear weapons as though he's still on a college campus somewhere in an anti-war rally. This is while he's given Iran a fast track to developing a nuclear weapon. He's telling us to no more nuclear weapons. Went to Europe. Europe was saved at least three times by America just in the last century. And yet he went there and apologized on one of his trips. When he said there have been times where America has shown arrogance and been dismissive, even derisive. You know, this would be the equivalent. Attention, Jewish Americans, especially liberals listening to the show. I'm not picking on you. I'm singling you out. You know why? Imagine if your president, who you love so much, who you have nothing but kindness for and love for, and you'd love to see Hillary as president because she'd be a continuation of his behavior, his policies and his actions. Can you imagine if this man went to Auschwitz and honored the dead Nazis by saying, I'm here to honor all the war dead, and he left and didn't say anything about the Jews that were killed by the Nazis? How would you feel today? Can I possibly awaken you to what I'm talking about? Is there any chance of reaching a belligerent, progressive, leftist person in this country? Is there a chance to break through the belligerence of their stupidity? See, here we have Benedict Obama not going to Arlington National Cemetery, but going to Hiroshima, spitting on the graves of our war dead, not mentioning the rape of Nanking, the Banga Island Massacre, the slaughter of Australian Army nurses, the Bataan Death March, the Sandakan Death March, the cannibalism and the deaths on the Kokoda Track, the conscription of women for sexual slavery in Japanese army brothels by the Japanese, the mutilation and murder of Dutch civilians in Borneo, the murder and the cannibalism of American pilots who were captured, the murder of American pilots and aircrew at Midway, the bombing of the hospital ship Manunda, the sinking of the hospital ship Centaur, the extermination of survivors of merchant vessels sunk by the Japanese. And did I fail to mention, my friends, what I spent a lot of time on? The experiments, the live experiments on live prisoners of war by the peace-loving Japanese in World War II. Peace-loving Japanese conducted experiments on living American, Australian, and New Zealand boys. Not even anesthesia. They removed organs from their bodies. They froze their arms. They amputated their arms and then assigned them to the other side of their body. I don't even want to tell you any more than that. And we're supposed to sit here and have sympathy for them? Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? Are you people that crazy that you'd let this traitor come back to the country without people demanding he be censured by Congress? That's the least we could do, is demand one person in Congress to stand up and say, Mr. President, we are bringing a censure motion for your despicable behavior in Japan. It won't happen. Don't wait for it. Not under Paul Ryan. He's just like him. Bowing to foreign leaders, bowing to the King of Saudi Arabia, bowing to the Emperor of Japan, bow to China's communist leader, going to Castro, and now spitting on the graves of our war dead. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. My friends, this is a very sad day in American history that not so much that Benedict Arnold has appeared again, but that he gets away with it without any consequences. There's the sadness. There's the rub, Shakespeare Savage says. It's not that he's doing it because he's done this from the get-go. It's that he keeps doing it and there's no opposition to him in Congress. He keeps doing it and there's no opposition to him in the media. He keeps doing it and there's no outcry amongst the American people. He keeps stabbing America in the heart and there are no riots in the streets. And speaking about riots in the streets, which we all oppose, there is a push for Blue Lives Matter, which of course I support 100%. And they want to raise the penalties for violence against cops to a hate crime level, which is the greatest thing that we could do. So all these progressive slaves who think that by beating up cops or hitting a police car goes without consequences, I want to see them punished with a hate crime. I want this to be the equivalent of beating up a gay. How's that? Or an immigrant. How would that be? A new movement percolating, a Blue Lives Matter push that seeks to raise penalties for violence against police and first responders. You like that one? In the great state of Louisiana, the legislature has voted to expand its hate crime laws to include law enforcement and first responders in addition to victims targeted because of fill in the flavor. Race, age, gender, religion, immigrant status, sexual orientation. Well, I'd like to add first responders and law enforcement. You touch a cop, you get a hate crime. You got that? How do you feel about that? Do you think hate crime laws should be applied to those who are attacking police with impunity because of Benedict Obama, because of Eric Holder? Don't think we've forgotten Eric Holder. This is the man who started the charade. He was the top law enforcement official in the country. He was the number one cop in the country, and he turned on the police. And now he's gone back to a fat job in Washington, D.C. as a corporate lawyer. Don't think anyone's forgotten the names Eric and Holder. Don't think anyone's going to ever forget the name Benedict Obama. Don't think the American people are dumb. You know, there's a saying, God sees the truth but waits. I'd like to add to that. The American patriots see the truth but wait. I have a tape of Harry Truman when he was challenged for having dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, because it was controversial, of course, from all of the weak sisters in America then and the weak sisters in America today. In other words, the born slaves. The slaves in America, comes in all races, by the way, slaves come in all colors. The slaves in America are apologizing for us dropping bombs on Japan without any regard to the million men who would have died, American men, who would have died having taken the home islands. The slaves in America, the natural slaves, the progressives, the ones who attack police horses, they're the slaves of America, the natural slaves of America. All of these progressives are the natural capitulators. They're the ones whose heads were shaved after World War II for having collaborated with the Nazis. They're the ones who were forced to walk the walk of shame in Paris, in Marseille, in every city in France. They made the collaborators, those who slept with the enemy during the war, they shaved the heads of the women and make them walk the walk of shame. We have them all over this country. I don't have to name them, you know who they are. But the number one traitor, the number one shamer, is in the White House. Now we have a fake man in the White House. See, we've gone from true man to fake man in one generation. He's the apogee of what Truman was. He's the antithesis of what an American president ought to be. And by the way, he is the reason Trump is soaring. if you want to tie it into current politics, because of this man's shameful, traitorous, anti-American behavior on an almost daily basis, the people are going with a man who never would have gotten where he is today in this country were it not for this shameful Benedict Obama. But let me tell you something. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those weird crosses, those uncomfortable crosses in all of those veteran cemeteries across America. You know those weird little ceremonies you see that those little people conduct? If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be here. You'd be a slave. Barack Obama, your president, the most evil anti-American enemy of these people called Americans, told reporters in Japan his historic visit to Hiroshima will honor all those who were lost in World War II. It's a sad day, a new low. You're watching a psychotic unraveling in front of your eyes. He knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy. Now, it's true he was raised in a home that was run by a single mother, and the single mother poisoned his mind. But I don't excuse him. He's the president of the United States. He obviously was spoon-fed hatred for the United States of America by mommy. And now we have been putting up with it for over 7 years. And I told you that he would reach a new crescendo before this was over. He loves putting the knife into America and turning it. He loves throwing salt in our wounds. He loves doing everything he can in the last days of his despotic regime to make everyone hate him even more. How do you feel about Obama spitting on the graves of our military deaths in World War II? How do you feel about this lowlife equating our heroes with the vermin in the Japanese military who were not their equals in any way? Massacres, rapes, murders, cannibalism, we didn't do that. Extermination of survivors, sinking of hospital ships, raping nuns, and he says all war dead. I want to thank Jim Hoft of the Gateway Pundit for launching this article that should really, really explain to you why Donald Trump is rising across America. You may not know why he's rising. It's because of Obama. Trump is the anti-Obama. Trump is everything Obama is not. Trump is everything America is praying for. Trump is everything America needs to wash away the filth that has been thrown into our faces over the last 7 and some odd years by this left-wing cabal of vermin. Trump reached the delegate number to clinch the GOP nomination. There will be no contested convention, as old Teddy Boy Cruz was threatening way back when, as long as his surrogates with their pom-poms and their go-go dresses. No, he'll be the nominee, and I predict there'll be a landslide. And the reason there will be a landslide is that we all know we need America first after having an America that was kicked in the teeth while it was down by a man who should have not only been impeached literally out of the starting gate, he never should have been qualified to be president to begin with. I got to tell you something. I'm a student of history. Obama was not qualified to be president in the first case. He could not have become a Secret Service agent. Do you know that Obama could not have qualified to become an FBI agent because of his associations? Did you know that? Just by dint of who his mommy associated with, he could not have become an FBI agent nor a Secret Service agent. And here he is explaining why a man of his low character could not have qualified to become a mere FBI agent or a Secret Service agent. And yet here he is ruining America on a daily basis. If he can't ruin us legislatively, he does it morally. Now, the Imperial Japanese military, which is including with our heroes, committed thousands of war crimes in World War II, resulting in the death of millions of civilians and prisoners of war. And yet your president, this anti-American walking disaster, stabbed all of our World War II dead in their graves. He spit on their graves. So let me ask you something. How do you feel about your president spitting on U.S. military deaths in World War II? He honors all war dead in Hiroshima, while the Japanese Prime Minister, Mr. Abe, says he has no plans to visit Pearl Harbor. But our thing, our anti-American creature, goes there and apologizes and then says he's there to honor all war dead, not our war dead. He forgot the rape of Nanking, the Bangka Island massacre where Australian army nurses were raped and slaughtered by his friends. He forgot the Bataan death march conducted by the peaceful Japanese war machine. He forgot the Sandakan death march. He forgot murder and cannibalism on the Kokoda track. He forgot conscripting women for sexual slavery in Japanese army brothels. He forgot the mutilation and murder of Dutch civilians in Borneo. He forgot the murder and cannibalism of captured American pilots. He forgot the murder of American pilots and aircrew at Midway. He forgot the bombing of the hospital ship Manunda. He forgot the sinking of the hospital ship Centaur. He forgot the extermination of survivors of merchant vessels sunk by the Japanese. All those who were, like, just sweep it over. All those who lost in World War II, all equal. All equal. The American males, equal to those who raped and slaughtered Australian nurses, equal to those who mutilated Dutch women in Borneo, equal to the Japanese who committed cannibalism on captured American pilots. I didn't even get into the place in Manchuria where the Japanese army had a special place for captured Australian and American soldiers and airmen where they conducted experiments on them while they were alive. Experiments on them while they were alive. A new low in human history. All war dead now equal to this piece of garbage. You think I insult the president? You've heard nothing as to what I'd like to say. Because I think worse of him than you could imagine. But okay, it's not about him, is it? Oh, he'll be gone soon. Will he? You think he'll be gone soon? You think this thing in the White House is going to just walk away quietly and move to that big fat multi-million-dollar mansion in Washington? Where'd he get the money from? Where'd the money come from for that big house? Oh, I see. He's renting it from Joe Lockhart, the former press secretary for none other than the molester in the White House, Bill Clinton. Joe Lockhart's going to give him the mansion at a reduced rate. How do you feel about Obama spitting on U.S. military deaths in World War II? Did you lose someone in World War II? Who did you lose? Who did you lose in World War II? Tell this thing in the White House. Tell this thing and his minions, these vermin of the left, who you lost in World War II so they can be the animals that they are and get away with what they're getting away with. We are the most compassionate nation on earth. The most compassionate nation in the history of the world that we've been able to put up with this for so long without reacting. Now, if you think I'm an unhappy, angry man, you're wrong. I'm a very good man, and sometimes I get very angry, but sometimes I get beyond anger. I turn into white rage. I feel like a tungsten filament right now with my rage toward this creature in the White House. The rape of Nanking, the Bataan death march, the Sandakan death march, murder and cannibalism on the Kokoda track, conscripting women for sexual slavery in Japanese army brothels, mutilation and murder of Dutch civilians in Borneo, the cannibalism of captured American pilots while they were alive, the murder of American pilots and aircrew at Midway, the bombing of the hospital ship Manunda, the sinking of the hospital ship Centaur, the extermination of survivors of merchant vessels sunk by the Japanese in 43 to 45. None of this matters to this anti-American psychotic, this walking pile of hatred. He tells reporters in Japan, sticking a knife into the grave of all those who died in World War II, to honor all those who were lost in World War II. Once again, the moral equivalency that we've been warning you about on the Savage Nation for over 20 years. The left uses a moral equivalency coin that specializes in brainwashing the world. And so at the end of the day, you don't know right from wrong, up from down, left from right, good from evil. And as a result, you have a deranged society and a deranged world order. He is the salesman of deceit. He is the greatest salesman of deceit. In Stop the Coming Civil War, here is what I wrote. People can justify a government's controversial policies and actions for only so long until they see a pattern of abuse of power. Then even the most devout supporters of any regime must decide if they support these extreme policies and actions or oppose them. And I go on to one abuse after another, the NSA spying scandal forgotten because of Wolf Blitzer and the media, the release of known Islamist terrorists from Guantanamo Bay prison, without congressional knowledge in order to let them go back on the battlefield to conduct crimes against humanity. He was not impeached for that. Flooding America with tens of thousands of illegal immigrants from Central America, many of whom are diseased. He was not impeached for that. I can go on and on. And I wrote, my question is this, will the Obama inner circle of extremist left-wing radicals trigger an event that will provoke an American insurrection, even a civil war? The answer is yes. It's called Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the American insurrection. And if you think that the American left is not going to riot and burn and beat up police horses, you're mistaken. They will. And I encourage every police officer listening to this show to do your duty to the Constitution and stand up to those street vermin. There is not a fine line, a very, very distinct chasm between legitimate protest and riot. And you have a right to control the rioters. Not only a right, you have an obligation, no matter what your rotten police chief tells you to do. You cannot look the other way when those rotten street vermin riot! We don't want a civil war in America. We want a civil America, not a civil war in America. And it's up to you to control the vermin, the street garbage that's rioting across America. Take a look at them. Look at their bodies. Look at their faces. Look at the hate spewing out of their mouths. They're not America. That's not the face of America. That's the face of the deranged drug addicts, the gutter rats that every society in history has controlled. Gutter rats like this were always controlled by societies from the beginning of time. And not fascistically, compassionately. We can control these vermin compassionately. There are ways to control these vermin compassionately, all within the law. But I want law and order in this country. I want it so badly I could taste it. Do you want law and order to return to America? Or do you want this vermin, the street radicals, to control America? How do you feel about that? But more specifically, let's go back again to my opening question. Your president spit on the graves of World War II veterans. And by the way, when you watch his shady eyes while he's doing it, you can literally see. You can see what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. It's as though he becomes possessed by a demon as he does it. He goes into another state of mind as he gets down with his America hatred. You can feel it as you watch the tape from Gateway Pundit. Watch his face as he says this thing. Watch the eyes. Watch the eyes, and you'll see that he knows what he's doing. It's as though he's on drugs. It's as though he's on a drug. It's as though somebody injected him with something to come out and spew hatred against American war dead. And yet he does it. Any other American would be arrested upon rearrival into the United States of America. They would have the man put in handcuffs for having committed sedition. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Japanese Army war crimes are well known to all students of history. I don't have to repeat the rape of Nanking, the Banga Island Massacre, the Bataan Death March, the Sandokan Death March, the Kokoda Track Massacre, conscripting women for sexual slavery in Japanese Army brothels, attention, lying feminists. The mutilation and murder of Dutch civilians in Borneo, the murder and cannibalism of captured American pilots, not all pilots, the murder of American pilots and aircrew at Midway, not all American pilots, the bombing of the U.S. hospital ship Manunda, not all hospital ships, the sinking of the hospital ship Centaur by the Japanese, not all hospital ships. I can go on and on, but the facts don't matter to this anti-American marching disaster. Now, I want to ask all of you sensitive liberals, especially those of you of Jewish descent, all you liberal folks, what if Obama had gone to Auschwitz, not just to Germany, but to Auschwitz, and he had the audacity to say, I'm here in Auschwitz to honor all the war dead of World War II, and he didn't say the Jewish war dead. What would have happened? Can you imagine, Oy Vey, what might have happened from all of his supporters in the liberal Jewish communities across America? Oh, you don't want to accept that that's the reality of what he did? To all of us in America who remember that American men died so that we can have the freedoms that we have today, and they conducted themselves honorably to the last man, and those who didn't were court-martialed because they were punished for violating the rules of war. Don't bring up the atomic bombs. I am sick and tired of all you backroom generals because, as I've told you before, and I'll tell you over and over again, we would have lost between 500,000 and 1 million American M-E-N, men, not transsexuals. 1 million American men would have been slaughtered taking the Japanese islands had the two atomic bombs not been dropped on Japan. This is not justifying or celebrating the agony that it caused to the so-called innocent. And let me tell you again, every man, woman, and child in Japan was told to make a weapon out of whatever they can get their hands on to kill any American that appeared on those islands. The estimates were 1,500,000 to 1,000,000. So the bombs were dropped because they wouldn't surrender. Terrible things happened. Obama telling reporters his trip to Hiroshima is to honor all war dead, without mentioning the thousands of war crimes committed by the Japanese military in World War II. Your uncle, equal to these monsters, he equated them. It's called moral equivalency. It's what the verminous left does on a daily basis. So now you think the transsexuals are equal to your grandmother. Now you're led to believe that everyone is equal under the law, that no matter what despicable acts they may commit, they're just like you. Everyone's equal. I don't know what else to say about this. I've told you all I wanted to say, so I'll do what I think I need to do, which is talk about Japanese Unit 731, where they treated human beings who were alive in experiments, experiments with living human beings, including American and Australian and New Zealand white boys. They caught them. They called them logs, maruta. They euphemistically referred to them as logs. And they used these logs for human experiments. Vivisection while they were alive. U.S. prisons of war were subjected to vivisection. No anesthesia, ending with the death of the victim. Vivisections were performed on prisoners after the Japanese infected them with various diseases. They performed invasive surgery on prisoners, removing organs to study the effects of disease on the human body. They conducted these experiments while the patients were alive because it was feared that the decomposition process would affect the results. Prisoners had limbs amputated in order to study blood loss while they were alive, no anesthesia. The limbs that were removed by these Japanese sadists were sometimes reattached to the opposite sides of the body. Some prisoners' limbs were frozen and amputated. Others had limbs frozen, then thawed, to study the effects of the resultant untreated gangrene and rotting. Is it too much for you? Obama said that he's honoring all war dead. Does that include these Japanese sadists? Ask Mr. Obama the next time you see him, Miss Pelosi. I know you're a good Catholic. How do people in Pelosi's family put up with her? Is there nobody in the Pelosi family who's nauseated and want to vomit when she opens her mouth and celebrates this creature called Obama? Is there no bottom to her stupidity?